It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, Ted here in the Ketchus Law Injury Attorney Studio. No fee unless you win, and you can call us at 617-779-7937. Screw it. Have every home run derby in Philly. That was the best part of the home run derby, is just how much they hated everybody who wasn't on the Phillies. I mean, just Contreras, and every time he like shanked one, they would, you know, you would think that they just won the Super Bowl. On top of that, they were booing kids out in the field who were dropping pop-ups, which...
You do have to sort of respect them in an odd way.
I mean, yeah, you know. Totally. All the respect. They made it entertaining. I mean, they're awful people. They're horrible villains.
Yeah.
But it made it fun. So for a home run derby that I said before, they did correct a few things. It definitely ended with an exciting ending. It's way too long. They got to somehow find a way to shave an hour off that thing. There's no way that should be a three-hour event.
Eliminate Will Ferrell, which was just a disaster.
That wasn't his fault.
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean.
Do you think if the audio was working, it still would have been a bad
idea? Nah,
it
still would have fell flat. He's okay. Just, you know, in that setting, he's just jumped the shark. I mean,
yeah, because it felt like Netflix was shoving a new show down your throat because it was on Netflix.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do like people try new things other than just the traditional kind of broadcast. Let's try something different.
Sure.
See how it goes. So, obviously, not so well. But I was, Buster Olney had a little stat on here, Rich. Average of the most home runs over the last home run derbies was like 273 home runs hit in the home run derby. Mm-hmm. There was only like 137 hit last night.
That was cool.
There's no clock.
Yeah, the limited amount of pitches was pretty cool. They still need to pull it back. 20 is too much for the first round. They should make it 15, 10. They were all worn out at the end. I mean, there was a thing that they had where if you hit a home run on your last swing, you get to keep hitting until you're done. No one until the final round hit a home run in the last swing because they were just worn out. And I also think that doing that instead of a clock, there was a listener yesterday who made a great point, and it was that it probably doesn't hurt them as much, like physically. Because you heard about all these guys who would get their swing out of whack and wouldn't be the same after the home run derby. I got to think that this is like a little bit of an answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that part of it. But man, geez, 3 hours. That was a long-ass time. But Wilson Contreras was awesome. And I'm glad that they started things off with him.
Yeah.
Because by doing that, I'm
right
like, you did. I was like, man, this is going to be good. Because if you would have looked at all the betting websites, he was way down at the bottom. Mm-hmm. Like, he was the biggest long shot in the whole thing. And for him to immediately get out there and hit those 475s, like, he had like three of them, I think.
He also, Alex Spear wrote this like statistical article about him in the Globe today about how different his numbers are this year compared to his career.
Yeah.
Like balls in the air, he's pulling at 26% of the time compared to his career, which is 15.
That's a big jump.
He's hit balls pulled in the air. He's hitting 690 with 16 home runs. So I don't know if Driveline is like sneaking back into the equation as like taking credit
or
for Wilson.
Or just works for him.
Yeah. It's like the one guy it seems to have worked with. He is a different player.
Dude, is it just nice to have a first baseman that you can count on?
Yeah.
Like that's, it's just the one position you kind of just don't want to have to worry about. The Red Sox have had to worry about it because they just haven't had that guy.
Yep.
Maybe he's the guy for the next 5 years.
And I also like the fact that his personality is one of like being a little bit of a hothead. I like that. His team was missing that for a while.
Oh.
And I know he goes over the line sometimes, but I don't care. Like I like this team to have a little bit of attitude.
Yeah.
And someone who's just not just like a typical boring baseball player who gives typical stock answers. Wilson Contreras is all right by me.
Like, he did ask a guy to meet him outside Fenway.
He did.
So
he did.
Which was kind of funny.
It was kind of funny.
When he was, like, not suspended, when he'd been ejected from the game, and he's still, like, in the clubhouse.
But if that was Duran, like, we'd be ripping him. Be like, this guy's off the, out, you know.
But listen.
As long as you're hitting dingers.
It's true.
That's the difference.
Dingers, you forgive everything if you're hitting them dingers.
Hit those dingers.
So I do want to play this clip, though, because Wilson Contreras said something afterwards, and I do believe he meant this in a positive way, but I think that there's part of it that he might have been sending a message to certain other players on this team. And I want to hear it again, because I've only heard this once, and the more I think about it, the more I do believe that this was a message toward guys like Roman Anthony. Let's take a listen real quick.
We are right now in third place, I think. We're not where we want to be, but we are on our way there. We're already making adjustments. The team has a really good chemistry, and the energy is there. And the guys that have been coming up from AAA are doing a great job. They're willing to listen, willing to work out, and they're willing to leave their heart on the field, which that's what we want.
I mean,
I don't know. Now I hear it, and I don't think it's as much of a shot at Roman Anthony.
It feels a little bit more casual, doesn't it?
It does.
Like he's, yeah.
Yeah.
But if I'm Roman Anthony, if I'm hearing that, I would consider that he was taking a shot at me.
Well, it also points out that he likes, if these AAA guys go away at some point, then he's going to be somewhat miffed that you're losing parts of the team he feels are working currently.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if somebody steps in, i.e. Roman and Meyer, come back.
Yeah.
And Bradford said he thinks Meyer's the first guy to come back. Then the pressure's on to deliver. Like, hey, you're not just going to carry you for months. We're in a pennant race now. Mm-hmm. And the guys that were your replacements, we liked. They were doing a good job. They left their hearts in the field. Mm-hmm. So you need to follow suit and do the same. Otherwise, it's a performance business. We're sending you back to AAA.
Isn't it funny how you just the guys that have the carrot dangling in front of them, how you play when you're motivated? Like, you know, guys that have already been paid, you know, the Roman Anthonys and the Brian Bales, you see how they perform versus the guys that are getting called up and get the shot at the big leagues. You know, they're hungry, man, and they play differently.
Ted, I think this is right in front of our faces, and we need one of those boards. Like, you know, you ever seen the conspiracy board where it's got a bunch of pictures and lines that moved? Well,
that one up behind you, perfect for that.
Yeah, we can do this right behind us, because there's been so many moments and so many quotes and things that people have said that lead me to believe that Roman Anthony isn't doing things the right way. And it all started, I believe, when Alex Cora made that comment about the younger players. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And then he had to kind of backtrack and do that all over again.
He basically said that Marcelo Meyer had to earn his spot on the team.
That
before
was
the
in
season
spring,
started.
Right. He was hard on Meyer.
Yep.
And Roman was like a given that they were going to build the team around him. It was like the other way for him. It was like Roman's the man.
He was anointed without really, I think, earning that.
And I'm part of that. I mean, I got caught up in it. We talked to him in spring training. And it was like, wow, this guy's so calm and cool, and he's doing well in the WBC, this is the face of the future. And
well, then all the guys that played in the WBC, all those teammates were loud and lauding him, too.
Right. Yeah. And he still could be that, but it's, you know, it's amazing how things have changed in 2 months.
And it's weird, too, because at first it was management versus Roman Anthony with the classification of his hand, and then it was reports that he was supposed to be back at a certain time, and it kept getting moved back, and you could tell it was frustrating Chad Tracy every time we talked to him, to the point where he's trying to, like, all right, I can't see anything
guys,
anymore.
Guys, no update, stop asking.
Right, just stop asking. I can't give you any updates anymore. And then the final straw being where they sent him down to Florida, and they're just like, listen, man, you go to Nairobi. You go way the hell away from us, because we seem to have a pretty good vibe going here, and I just think it was depressing to the players. And it just seems to me that something is off with the way he's handling all of this. Because if he was, I don't know, if he was doing the right thing, you wouldn't be hearing all of these little, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. Mm-hmm. I just feel there's a lot of smoke when it comes to Roman Anthony. Not a lot of people saying a lot of positive things about Roman Anthony.
No, I think it's a fact that the organization feels like he should be back. I mean, I guess I can't prove that, but like, they feel like he should just muscle through this.
Yeah.
And he and his camp are like, no, we're not pushing this. But that's not what they've said publicly. I guess they have come on and said, you know, it's a pain tolerance issue, but we understand it's got to run its course.
How long is this pain tolerance, though? And I know that's and it sounds like, and once again, I'm saying this not even knowing exactly how it feels like to have the hand that he has. But man, it's been a couple of months now where we were at a point where everything seems to be healed the way it is. It's just a pain tolerance thing. Like, how long until you can't tolerate the pain?
You realize there's not really any rehab to this.
Yeah.
There's you don't rehab a finger.
Well, he was swinging the soft bat. What were those bats called?
It's not the Fungos. It had a funny name. I forget.
Or was it a ball? It was some kind of...
No, it was the bat. You're right.
It was like it was Fungo bats.
Well, I know there's Fungo bats, but there was some other weird ball or something he was throwing around that I had never heard of before. It was one of those things I was like looking around the room like, am I supposed to know what that is?
Yeah. I mean, literally, if you had to think of what he gets up and has to rehab, it's he gets up and what does he... What does he do with his finger?
Yeah, I don't...
Like, why do you got to be in Florida to, like, work on, like, a finger?
Plyo ball. He he was throwing the plyo ball.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Plyo ball. That's what it is. Right. Right.
Because I remember... Or was that crochet? I'm getting a little confused.
All I know is that when somebody said that word, I looked around like, am I really supposed to know what that is? Am I the only one in the room who doesn't know what that is? Let's go to John on line one. John, what's happening, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, John.
How are you, boys?
What's up, bud?
Ted, how was your vacation?
It wasn't a vacation, but it was. I was fine. Thank you. Yep, had a death in the family that I had to take care of there.
My apologies. Well,
all good.
Good news. Ken and I are going to the Odyssey movie at some point. If you'd like to join us, you're welcome to, to come along. We're going to check the historiography of Cyclops.
John is upset because I said I was worried because Christopher Nolan said this. I wanted this to be like a documentary. And I was like, that doesn't sound fun.
Yeah, no.
And then John Cotton was like, wow, what do you want it to be? Anyway.
John, I appreciate it. I would love to go. I was told that I couldn't go until my girlfriend gets back from her trip. So I otherwise I'd go with you guys. I'm looking forward to it. Everywhere I look on the social media is the Odyssey.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Ken's dying to go. We'll catch it on TV. They made a minor move in the outfield today, guys, with Detroit.
Yep.
And that player has no options. So he's got to come up to the big club.
Right.
So that tells me that a shoe's got to drop, and either the pile of suck is going, or maybe they're going to make the blockbuster move of all blockbuster moves and move on from Roman Anthony.
Nah, I don't think so. They sent Nate Eaton down to Worcester, so that's the move they've made.
By the way, somebody reminded us, they were calling what Roman Anthony was doing dry swings.
Oh, that's dry swings, that's it. Thank you.
That's it.
Bio balls and dry swings.
Dry swings.
That's it.
Is that like just like miming a swing?
Yeah.
Is that when you don't have a bat? Is that like...
Yeah, I think so.
How is that even a thing?
It's a thing.
It's almost as bad as Tristan Casas' mind swings.
Yeah. That's right. That's
remember
it.
That?
Yeah.
He said, I'm taking a lot of swings in my mind.
It's dude, you got to start at the very bottom, man. That's where you start.
Yeah. Dry swings, man.
But I don't think they would trade Roman. I do think Meyer. Yeah, no way. I think they might trade Meyer. And that's a larger issue than just this year.
It wasn't that long ago. The report was that they were looking for a big bat in a contract which they'd be willing to take on money.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago.
And ownership was apparently making the calls for the big bat.
So, what do you think of Will Fleming telling me they're going to try to make a big swing?
Well, Will, if you're listening, I don't know. How did it go last year? I mean, Will was like, Joe, you're going to be a big move.
He had to get off Twitter.
He's back on Twitter, though.
I don't know. Will doesn't have the best track with that.
He's going to make up for it.
Yeah, I
believe him. I believe
he's
Will.
He's sourced. I believe that.
Yeah, that's right. All right.
I mean, seriously, like one significant bat could change everything. So why wouldn't you explore that?
Listen, I've been saying this for the past couple of days, and that is Breslow. He wants to save his job, then do something drastic. This is what people do who are clawing and screaming and trying to keep a job that they've been, there's whispers that they would lose it. Don't they always do something?
You're damn right.
And so in this case, it's a good thing. Yep. Save your job. Go get a big bat. Get the bat you were supposed to get in the offseason. Do something big and drastic because you know what? This team deserves it. I think they've proven to you that they deserve you to invest in them, especially Chad Tracy, who's got these guys playing their ass off when they had every excuse not to. So save your job. Get out there. Get a big bat. And maybe, just maybe, the stars will align. You'll have a big bat in the lineup. These guys will continue playing at the level that they're at. And maybe some of these injured players will come back. And who knows? At that point, you got just as good of a shot as anybody in this crappy American League.
Balls on the table.
Yes, balls on the table. Absolutely. All right, 617-779-7937. We'll take your calls next. I think they're due for a halftime show, don't you? I think they're big enough.
Halftime show. Wow.
I think so.
Killers.
Yeah, the Killers. I said this earlier.
What about Noah Kahan? It was Noah Kahan week.
Dude,
he had a good week.
I'm blown away that Noah Kahan. Is it Noah Kahan or Noah Kahan?
I think it's Kahan.
Sure.
Okay. I'm blown away that guy sold out four shows Fenway.
He's from here.
Well, I was thinking, I like Noah Kahan. Not as much as music, but I like him as a person. Like, I've seen interviews with him, and he seems like a good dude. And I wish him nothing but the best, but I was thinking about it. Like, who else could sell out four shows at Fenway? Taylor Swift could? Could the Rolling Stones do four shows at Fenway?
Oh, I think Foo Fighters probably could.
You too, maybe? No, Foo Fighters, no. Four
you
shows?
Don't think so?
No,
yeah,
no, no, no.
Four
no, no.
is a lot.
Four is insane. Like, that's insane what he just did.
But it's a whole vibe, though. It's even bigger than him. Not to take away from him and his talent, like... It just seems like now it's gained a life of its own. People that don't even like his music just go for the scene.
Well, it's like Fish, and stuff like that, and like the Dead were. But I'm telling you, I was thinking about it. I'm thinking of the biggest bands in the world. Like the Rolling Stones, I don't think could sell out four shows at Fenway.
I think they could because it's not that big. You know, it's not like a 80,000-seat stadium.
I mean, that's pretty massive. I don't know. It is wildly impressive for a guy that... What, 5 years ago was basically playing in Watertown and nobody knew who he was?
Right on.
So good for him, man. As I said, he seems like a great dude. I am really happy
nobody
that he's
expects
successful.
The Spanish Inquisition.
Oh!
There we go.
What is happening?
Man.
Whoa.
Let me hear Teddy J's one more time, if you don't mind. Just pull it up. That's a good one. Let's go.
Joie de vie, ménage à trois.
Okay, so France has not scored. So that means
we're not going to hear that today.
It is now 2-0
to
Spain in the 57th minute. All right, let's go to, which one should I go with? Marty? All right, let's go with Marty on line one. Marty, what's up, buddy?
Hi, Marty.
Hey, brother. How you doing?
Doing good, my man.
So, I'm watching that match myself, so I'm excited too. But I have a suggestion for a Red Sox trade.
Okay.
Washington has all kinds of hitting, and they're still in the race, and the Red Sox got pitching. So I suggest the Red Sox trade Aroldis Chapman and another bullpen addition. I would like to get rid of Wayback Weiser, of course. And then maybe Monasterio, and try to pull C.J. Abrams out of there and sign C.J. Abrams long. What do you think about that?
Wow.
I mean, I'm not giving up Chapman right now, but Marty, I like the fact that you're thinking about it. I like the fact that you think that this team is going to do something fairly aggressive, but you can't give up. You can't give up Aroldis Chapman right now.
Of the pitchers,
I think they'd have to give up either. I think Toley or Early are probably going to be, that's going to be the ask, right? Somebody who's big league ready, but exciting.
Do you have a favorite?
I would keep Toley just for the
pure
personality
entertainment
and, like,
aspect.
Yes, I don't,
my boy crushed five donuts the other day.
Yeah,
when he
right.
Was
like,
waiting for the plane.
Even if he sucks on the mound every now and then, he's like, which he doesn't often. He's just a great quote. And C.J. Ames was a lefty bat. I'm not sure that's what you're looking for. Don't you need the righty stick?
That would be ideal. Yes, is a right-handed bat. Yep.
Let's go to Jillian on line two. Jillian, what's happening?
So this is like the second time I've called in about this. And I feel like each time it gets a little dismissed and then other callers call in and support me in it.
Jillian, let me tell you right now, I will not dismiss you, baby. I am not.
Baby.
We're right here.
Well, let me say what I'm going to say. So this is Roman Anthony. I have a good friend who's a trainer, and he's specifically a trainer for cross country girls at a national level.
Okay.
And basically when he saw Roman Anthony come back from winter, he was like, uh-oh, because Roman Anthony bulked up too fast, according to him. And when you're dealing with especially young bodies, the tendons don't keep up with the muscles. So you have to build up slowly so the tendons are also strengthening. And if you don't do that, then what happens is you have all of this force and the tendons can't bear it and they snap and there's a tendon injury, and he not only has to heal his tendon injury, but then he has to build up the tendon to make up for the bulk that he has now and the swing that he has now, which is too hard for his tendons to manage.
Well, Jillian, I am not going to dismiss that at all, but the good news is that we have somebody here who bulked up very quickly when he was young.
That would be
Teddy J. Ted, as somebody who has bulked up quickly at a young age, is there any...
I think there's some credence to what she's saying. However, it is the finger. It's the tendon and a finger. Like, it's not
your hand doesn't bulk up, does it?
No.
Although you got a pretty big ass hand.
Yeah. What if you're in the wrist thing?
I don't know, hips, knees, shoulders, okay, but a finger, a tendon, and a finger.
It does seem strange, but I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to that. Like, that just seems completely foreign.
I think,
to
Jillian,
me.
It's onto something. I can get that. I can get down with what you're saying, but not for this specific injury where it's in the hand. Right?
Sure.
Your hand doesn't get bulked up.
That's actually a good question. Yeah. When people like become like very big, like when they like bodybuild, do your hands get bigger too? Because I would think they do, right? Because most big people have big hands.
I'm looking at Ted's hands.
Yeah. Ted, you got big ass hands.
Nah, I got average, maybe a little average to a little above average. You know, you get your hands get stronger.
Okay. Now, are there muscles in your hand? I don't know.
Not really. No.
Okay.
No,
well, when the Hulk did bulk, the Hulk's hands got big.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I know that, like, you used to read those guitar magazines that would sell those things that you squish your fingers to, to make your fingers faster on the frets. And that was supposed to put muscles in your.
Yeah, I tried those. Didn't work.
No. Everybody bought those. Sucker buy.
Feel bad that you dismissed her, though. Sounds
yeah. Oh, how dare nice you? Lady. How dare you? I was nothing but chivalrous to Julian over there. All right, 617-779-7937. By the way, all right, stop with this. I said, who else could sell out four nights at Fenway? Uh-oh. And somebody said, Godsmack could do it. Now, listen, Godsmack.
The great Soliana.
The local guys... Salute you. They made a hit album for like $5. Like that first album, I think it cost them $6,000 to make, and it became massive. Much respect to the guys from Godsmack. There is no effing way on earth they could sell it out once, much less four times.
207 Texture's right, though. Zach Brown definitely would. Kenny Chesney would.
You two would. Coldplay would.
Yeah. Chris Stapleton's doing two shows Pearl there. Jam he probably would. Could do four.
You think Pearl Jam could do four nights?
That's just
me. Yeah, Pearl Jam could. Yeah.
Maybe.
Couple nights.
I But that's just why, because his show sold out immediately. Like all four immediately sold out. And it's just a dude that for five years ago wasn't even a thing. Like it's a, because the one thing you could say about U2 is it's generations
that are into it.
You know?
Five decades.
And Noah Kahan is mostly women between the ages of what, 16 and 30?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it's.
Did you see his. A little hole in one yesterday?
Yeah. Dude had a good week.
Yeah.
He tweeted really something. He said, sold out four nights at Fenway, got a hole in one, and won $5,000 from the encore.
It's a good week, man.
It's
right
good
there.
To be Noah Kahan, man. It sure is. All right. We'll take your calls next. 617-779-7937. By the way, it is 937 WEEI, Rich, Ken, and Ted. I made a comment earlier. I was saying, I can't name many bands that could sell out four straight nights like Noah Kahan did. It's amazing what he's done. And I am getting some of the funniest suggestions. Like, there's a couple of them that are legit. Like, someone said Lady Gaga. All right, Lady Gaga might be able to do that. Sure. Pearl Jam might be able to do that. Sure.
Lady Gaga, by the way, halftime show, Pat's Falcons, if I'm not mistaken.
Was she?
I think 23 comeback we were talking about earlier.
I don't remember that. Okay.
What's great is that somebody suggested Coldplay, and someone just felt that they needed to text, Coldplay sucks!
Thanks.
All right. I promise I won't mention him again. But then there's funny ones. There's one dude who's very angry that I said that there's no way Godsmack could sell out four shows at Fenway. Very, very angry. He said, Godsmack literally sold out shows in Bulgaria. They'd sell out Fenway, too. All right, man.
His name's Greg Hill.
As I said, the Godsmack guys are good dudes, and I like those guys. But, I mean, the last show two shows ago, they played the MGM Music Hall. And then the last show, I think they just played a couple weeks ago at the Xfinity Center, and it didn't sell out. So, I mean, you can't, four nights at Fenway is insanity. Like,
and
that
it wasn't just them at the Xfinity, right?
No, it was other ones, too. And by the way, somebody also said Godsmack could and Stained as well.
Seether and Breaking Benjamin.
No, that's right. See, of course.
But don't you think if there was a Sphere in the Seaport, Noah Kahan could have like a summer? Like,
you know there's a Sphere coming to
what?
The Seaport. It's a mini version of the Sphere. You heard about this?
No.
Yeah. Boston is getting a Sphere type of thing. Let me see if I can find
it. This wasn't a fake media post?
No, it's the Seaport Immersive Dome. Boston is planning its own Vegas-style entertainment attraction, an immersive dome experience coming to the Seaport.
Really?
It's a large 360-degree projection dome at 492 Summer Street across from the Omni Boston Hotel. So that would be kind of over near where the convention center is.
Mm-hmm.
That will host musical events, art installations and festivals, an immersive dome experience. So it's not anywhere as big as the Sphere, but you might get a smaller version of that, which is kind of cool.
How many people are seated in the Sphere in Vegas? Do you know?
I think that's probably about like 8 to 10,000. I would think.
Okay.
It's a lot. It's a decent amount. Somebody's
20,000.
Is it 20,000? It's that much?
No.
Jeez. Well, they hide it well. Maybe it's because like it goes up so freaking high.
It does go up high.
Like it's really, really high. Someone said Godsmack barely sold at Hampton Beach Casino. That's not true. We're way bigger than that. I love that this guy's just fighting me that Godsmack could do that. Somebody said Billy Joel probably. Metallica, yes. Metallica could do probably.
I think Metallica should get a Super Bowl halftime. I really do. I think they've earned it.
Metallica should be next in line. Without a question. Yeah, they should be the next in line. But it's not. Here's the thing, though, is that they already have. The NFL already has the Metallica audience watching the Super Bowl. Their whole job is to get as many people possible to tune in.
That's a good point.
So they're going to go outside the demo. They are going to get something. Well, I would say more
again?
Like a
no,
lot
I'm
of.
I'm saying, but that's why, to your point,
sure.
Why they got Bad Bunny.
And also a lot of artists that appeal towards females as well. I think that sometimes you can get a perfect mix of the demo that's already watching and one that appeals to women too. I think that the Eminem Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg one was fantastic for that reason.
The best one.
There's nothing that chicks of a certain age love more than putting on Snoop Dogg and acting dirty. No like, it's, if you're like a woman who's about 40, to maybe like 35 to about 50, you love some Snoop Dogg.
I thought that was the best one ever, man. I thought they crushed it.
It was definitely, it was very good. It was very good. Best ever still Prince.
Now, don't you think we're going to get Taylor Swift, though? I mean, that's coming. I mean, it's just, it feels like inevitable.
Well, see, she earns nothing by doing that. What I mean is that there's no reason for her to do it. Like honestly, there's nothing in it for her.
It's the Kelce tie. And
she's the biggest thing ever, and you don't get paid.
Yeah, it's just something to check off her thing.
I just think it's only, there's nothing more scrutinized than a Super Bowl halftime show. I just think that there's no reason for her to do it.
There are odds for it already, actually, shockingly.
Oh, yeah?
Right now, Miley Cyrus, the favorite, +300 along with...
Hang on, Miley Cyrus is the favorite? What hit does she have other than Party in the USA?
Oh, she's got some recent hits. My daughter's a big fan.
Oh, Cannonball. That was the other where she was naked on the Cannonball, or the Wrecking Ball.
Naked on a Wrecking Ball?
That's the video. It was like a famous video. She was naked on a Wrecking Ball and smashed into stuff.
Justin Bieber, Sabrina Carpenter, Cardi B, and then Taylor Swift. And then Metallica is +1,400, so they're in the mix.
Yeah, Metallica, they would kill it. They'd be amazing. And they're also now, it's so funny how music that I used to think was so dangerous when I was a kid, that I used to hide from my parents, it's now, now like dads just bringing their kids and grandpas listening to it.
Grocery store music.
Yeah, right. You're shopping and you're hearing Creeping Death.
It is sad, isn't it?
It's cool. Like, that part I like. Like, I like that there is... You know, when you become somebody who ends up having kids, there is something cool about your kids legitimately liking the stuff that you used to listen to. And I always used to think driving a kid around in the car, like, why put on the Wiggles? Why put on, like, Barney and stuff like that when you can raise them on legitimately good music?
A Nutshell.
Yeah, A Nutshell by Alice in Chains. And then they can grow up horribly depressed. I mean, listen, Jar of Flies is one of the greatest albums ever created. That's a depressing-ass album. Without a question. Yeah, somebody said 60-plus love Snoop Dogg, too. Oh, girl, man, I'm telling you, it's like 35 to 50. That age bracket of women, they love some Snoop Dogg. They're the ones tweeting about him at the Olympics. And by the way, Snoop Dogg just ran out of stuff to do this past Olympics.
I thought he did okay, though. I didn't think he was, like, I don't know.
He was fine. He was fine. Right. And he was great, like, when he first started doing it. But I think that they just, like... It was like there was almost like a clock that was a timer that every 30 minutes they had to mention Snoop Dogg on the NBC broadcast. Mm-hmm. And Tirico's like, you know, we've got so-and-so here. And look, there's Snoop Dogg. He's doing a funny dance. I'm bewildered by his hip-hopness. Look at him. He's hanging out with people who don't act hip-hop at all. Now they're just like, what? I just can't believe. Well, you speak crazy, Mr. Snoop Dogg. It was really just, they just shoved him down your throat after a while. All right. So I do want to quickly get to one last thing. We were talking about Greg Bedard and how Greg Bedard is now picking fight. Or I don't know if he's picking fights. Christian Gonzalez is picking a fight with Greg Bedard. But Greg Bedard came out with a story or a report, rather, that somebody who is in the know and somebody within the Patriots organization thought that Christian Gonzalez was not physically... What was the phrase he used? He wasn't tough physically. They were questioning his
mental. Not physical
enough, yes. Yeah, not physical enough.
Now a second layer.
And now a second layer is that he's adding on that he's not mentally tough enough because apparently he shot back at Greg Bedard and blew up the whole thing, and now everybody's talking about it. That's the crazy thing about Christian Gonzalez, is that nobody would have been talking about this story if he didn't make it huge, and now it's massive. So the one thing I want to find out, Ted, is that with everything that's been going on, with this back and forth and Christian Gonzalez obviously seeming upset by the report that's out there, can you get a read on how negotiations are going when you've got the person whose contract it is seems to be very defensive about what's going on?
I mean, the only thing I can read from it is that Christian Gonzalez is a little nervous.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you felt like you were close to getting a deal done, I don't think you would. You know, lions for lambs, you probably would not even pay attention to Greg Bedard's reporting. But if you feel like you're stuck, you're not even close, and then you hear him say that, then it maybe is like, you know, you feel a little bit more angst. So his behavior, and it's not whatever. So he responded to him on Twitter. That's not the craziest thing in the world. But it does indicate to me, to some degree, that maybe he's getting frustrated, they're not close, and that Greg Bedard putting that out there is getting to them because they aren't getting close to a deal.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, or nay on that.
Yeah, you know, I actually think that makes all the sense in the world.
They're probably saying, like Wemby, you should take less. You know, Wembanyama's doing it. Why don't you do it?
Dude, I am not joking. I'm not joking. I think they're going to pull that with Drake. I guarantee you they're going to sit down with him and they're going to say,
the
you know
what? Greatest quarterback of all time.
Boom.
The greatest quarterback of all time did it, Drake. So,
they can't. I don't believe that. Not with Drake.
They're going to try it.
They paid Brady once. With quarterbacks, it's different. Corners, you can make a case that they let Steph Gilmore go and people were upset at the time and it didn't really affect them, you know, all that dramatically. They've let, you know, Revis got out of here after a year. Maybe that was a mistake. The corners, Sauce Gardner went, and, you know, it's kind of a bust. The corners age quickly. They're a little unpredictable.
Well,
anyway.
You can avoid them by throwing away from them. I'd be curious how much zone they play. They can say, well, you know, there's not as much value. I mean, he's just
right. If Vrabel didn't draft him, you know, it's a Bill guy, technically.
Yep. But it's also, if you're trying to build a culture, do you want a first-round draft pick that has played well for you? Wants to get paid, and then you do him dirty. That does not send a good message.
Well,
to the
you
rest
don't
of the
do
players.
Him dirty. You pay him, but then you trade him, and somebody else picks up that contract. Same thing that the Jets did, right? They paid Sauce Gardner, then flipped him mm-hmm. for two first round mm-hmm. picks.
Is that what you think they would get? Is two first round picks?
Right now, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Would you rather have? I mean, would you be pissed if they ended up doing that, Ted? If they ended up not signing him to the extension that he wants?
You get two first round draft picks for Christian Gonzalez. I would. Very much considered.
Even though right now, they just went to the Super Bowl. Don't you got to cash in now?
How old's Drake?
As we've learned, nothing is guaranteed. Just because you got there once.
But you got 10 good years with this guy. Your window is now 10 years.
Man.
You don't have to go all in for 1 year.
Yeah.
Drake, you're going to pay all that money too. So like you said, you got two big contracts. You can't skimp on Drake. I don't think you can. But you could skimp on the corner. You could. You could make football reasons and excuse it away.
What scares me a little bit by if I was to trade him or you know for two first round draft picks, your defense is going to suffer because if you had like an elite pass rush,
yeah,
I wouldn't feel as bad about getting rid of a high end corner.
A good point.
But your pass rush is not that good.
Wait till Gabe Akers gets in here.
Hey man, that's another interesting thing. But so you don't want to give up. Back end talent because the front end is not that good right now.
That's a good point. Good point. You know? I think it would piss off a lot of fans. I think if you let Christian Gonzalez go, it's going to piss off a lot of fans. And I'm telling you, this team right now does not need negative attention.
Everybody's watching this contract right here. Everybody wants to see what the new regime, is it the same old Patriots where they nickel and dime you to death? Or is this a different, have they turned a corner and they're a different, you know, are they going to actually start spending cash? Because over the tenure of time, the Crafts have owned this team. They have been the lowest spending cash team in the NFL.
They report a week from Friday. It's like it feels too soon.
I know.
What the hell?
Hell yeah.
I mean,
let's go.
Summer's turning the corner.
It is.
Let's go. 617-779-7937. We will take your calls next, including the one person who on text is very angry that I didn't know more Miley Cyrus songs.
Yeah, come on.
Apparently, she had record of the year. God knows she I'm a did. Grammy guy. So we'll take your calls
You're
next.
A theater guy.
Of course I am. But, you know, I didn't know Flowers was the record of the year.
Oh, Flowers.
I appreciate
that's the song.
Hang on. Didn't Flowers have the exact same, like, isn't that the exact same song as, like, somebody else's song that came out the same year?
Oh, yeah, there was some.
It's like Beyonce and Miley Cyrus made the exact same song. With, like, different lyrics?
I forget the details, but you're right on that.
Yeah, okay. See, I do know this stuff, Mr. 774. All right, we'll take your calls next. It is 93.7 WEEI. It's Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson, and Miley Cyrus, who apparently has 1,000 hits. So this is kind of got the same... What was the deal? This was the same song as, like, another one? It was like a...
We'll be getting texts about it, and you got a caller there if you want to go to it.
All right, let's go to. Do we really? Yeah, sure. Real quick, Chris. Chris, what's up, Chris? How's it going?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic.
Flowers is a response song to a Bruno Mars song called "I Should Have Brought You Flowers."
Okay. All right. Okay, good. And thank you, Chris, for clarifying
that. A response song?
You are welcome.
Oh, thanks.
Wow, I like the voice.
I know. Right there. That was sweet.
Call back.
What's a response song?
It just like, I don't know. I thought that there was some sort of weird like copyright issue that it sounded, one sounded
that might
exactly
have been a Taylor Swift song now that you're saying that.
Maybe. Let's go to Jeff on line
Hard
one.
To keep track.
Jeff, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Kids. Good. How you guys doing today? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, man.
So you mentioned playing songs for your kids and stuff.
So one of my favorite dad stories is, so it was 2008, Iron Man 2 had just come out in the theaters. I took my son, who was 8 years old, to see it in the theater. And we come out, and I'm like, what do you think, bud? Oh, man, that was great. That was great. And we get in the car, and he goes, who was doing all the music for that? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you remember. But
AC Mother effing DC. Absolutely, I remember that.
I was glowing. Literally, I took him right from the theater, and we went to the store, and I bought him the CD, and we came home, and his mother was like, what did you do? I didn't do anything. That was all him.
Dude, it's the best, man.
So
yeah, that was cool.
I mean, the Thrill is featured prominently, if I can recall.
It was. Yeah. Matter of fact, I think the entire soundtrack is AC/DC.
Okay. It fits perfect for that movie.
It did.
Absolutely fit perfect.
It did, without a question. Yeah. That is a cool moment when you're able to, you know, like when your kid likes the same thing that you like. Because mm-hmm. it doesn't last long, because all of a sudden it's like, hey, Drake. And I'm like, all right, I missed out on that one. Never been a big Drake fan. When it comes to rap music, I'm more into...
He's got to be panicking.
Naughty. I'm more into naughty middle-aged woman music, like Snoop Dogg.
You know what the biggest soundtrack for my age? I think I'm a little bit older than you guys. Mm-hmm. Footloose. You came out of the movie Footloose.
Really?
Are you kidding me?
Holding out for a hero to the end of the night.
Kenny Loggins.
Are you kidding me? Kenny Loggins.
Yeah.
Top Gun.
Loggins was
hear it for the boy.
Yeah, I mean, he was everywhere. So Footloose, you guys laugh.
No, Loggins was the like soundtrack king for a while. He was obviously Footloose, Top Gun, Danger Zone, I'm All Right, Nobody Worry About Me from Caddyshack.
Oh.
And then he followed up to Caddyshack 2 with I'm Going All the Way, Nobody's Fool. And then he did, of course, from Over the Top, Meet Me Halfway Across the Sky. Am I missing any more
what?
Soundtracks?
Dude, that was Over the Top?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Meet Me
God.
Halfway.
Oh, dude.
It also had Sammy Hagar's Winner Takes It All, Loser Takes the Fall, Time
dude,
to Take It Over the
that's
Top.
That's unbelievable.
Oh, his nickname is the King of the Movie soundtrack. I didn't know that.
There's got to be another one that I'm not thinking of. But, I mean, that's like five right there. He was the King of the Movie soundtrack.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, he was the master. All right. You said that this is kind of interesting because...
Well, real quick here. Yeah, so Jones and Keefe put together their tiers today. It is Tier Tuesday, as you know, on the Jones and Keefe show every week. So they did their coaches today. They had three coaches as the best around, and they have Vrabel in the second tier with a bunch of dudes that are in a pretty, pretty good category. Shocking to me that Sean Payton is actually on their third tier of fine. I think that's actually the biggest takeaway for me.
Do you want us to guess who the top three
are? Yeah, who are the top three?
Ted, you go.
In the NFL, Mike McDonald.
Yes, which I wouldn't have guessed was obvious, but yes.
Then I'm going to say Kyle Shanahan.
No.
Sean McVay.
Yep. Yeah.
And then, Andy Reid.
Boom.
Okay.
So do you agree those three
yes.
are a tier on their own?
Yep.
Is there anybody else who needs to be out there?
I'd maybe put Kyle Shanahan up there.
Yeah. I would put, not Sean Payton.
No. Did you see him against the Patriots in the AFC Championship?
Yeah, I saw his quarterback.
Let's go for it on fourth down. Yeah. Let's go for it on fourth down. No, sorry. I mean, Sean Payton was going to let Bill Belichick coach his team.
He really wasn't.
I think he's a little overrated. Sean Payton's a smidgy overrated. I don't think he's in the top tier.
But Mike McDonald should not be top tier yet.
Oh, yeah.
He won one.
Yeah, how long has he been head coach? 3 years.
Okay.
One in 3 years?
I mean, to put him in Andy Reid's category?
But Andy Reid's at the end. Mike McDonald's at the beginning. Mm. So I think that's,
Plus, he got help from Brady to win the Super Bowl.
He did.
What the hell?
Yeah. Vrabel sounds right. They have him in the second tier.
I think that's fine.
Yeah. Vrabel should
He's
be in the second
got to
tier.
Prove more. Yeah.
Well, I mean, listen, he went to the Super Bowl in his first year here. Mm. So, I mean, that's a big deal. Big deal with a young quarterback and a fairly young team.
Yeah.
A under-talented team, if you want to compare to most teams that make it to the Super Bowl.
It's true.
He did a good job.
He did a really good job.
He definitely deserves second tier.
You know, I thought he did a phenomenal job. I thought he coached his ass off.
He did.
He was present. He was, he was involved in everything. And you could just see him willing his team every single week. The guy coaches ass off.
Do you think that'll stay? That energy will stay the same
I don't
this year?
I don't know how you sustain it.
It's hard. And I don't think he can be as open as he was.
He won't. He can't be. So
that's a fear that he becomes.
It's just a smidge.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be the same Vrabel. I don't think it can be. And I don't know how you match the energy that he had last year.
He's so pro player too that there's part of me that thinks that he might have some sort of influence on this Christian Gonzalez situation. I think that if things come to a heads and they just can't work it out, I do believe that Vrabel's the type of guy that would go to Robert Kraft and be like, I need this guy.
Well, do you see any signs of his influence this offseason? Any examples of?
Well, they had a big free agent class. I'm assuming that helped.
A.J. Brown?
Yeah.
So he makes a lot of money. I think, Mike's, you go to the Super Bowl, Belichick got so much power after we won in 01. I don't think they want to give a coach that kind of power again, but he's given a lot of, I think, more power now. This time, last year, this time, he didn't have the same power he has now, I think, because of what he did this year.
Yeah, I think you might be right. That's why I'm kind of leaning more towards this all getting worked out. I still think that he's going to end up, Christian Gonzalez is going to end up being the highest paid player at his position by the time this season starts, or at least maybe a couple games into the season. There might be a holdout situation, but it's going to happen. I do believe it's going to happen.
But that's, I mean, if the start of the year, I mean, not.
First
That's
four games, they're against playoff teams.
Right. I mean, you couldn't have a tougher stretch.
You know what's crazy? The first four games, they're playoff teams. That's the hardest four-game start for a team in like 30 years.
At Seattle, Pittsburgh at home, at Jacksonville, at Buffalo.
That's tough.
That is very tough.
You're going to need Christian Gonzalez.
Yes.
He might be worth a win on those four.
And if he doesn't sign until late August, then even then it's going to be like, well, he's not ready for week one.
Right.
Or, you know, you're going to criticize his play if he doesn't perform up to snuff.
Stop effing around. Get this thing done. Stop calling Greg Bedard
right,
and having him put your word out there. Just sign the guy. Say, you know what, we're not going to make you the highest paid defensive player, but we'll make you the highest paid at your position. Shake, let's go, make your money sign on the side of the court anytime you want to, because you are paid, my friend. Mm-hmm. And let's move on, and let's go to the Super Bowl again, and hopefully this time win it. All right, 617-779-7937. We'll take your calls next. Also, Red Sox, flaming hot. Do you buy it? We had a weird report from Rob Bradford about when he thinks these players are coming back. I didn't like that at all.
Dude.
But do you need them? Who knows? We'll talk about that here. 2 minutes, not going anywhere. Be right back.